Our modern-day culture exalts this idea of extraterrestrials and UFOs so much that the thought of life on other planets seems plausible, even to some Christians. But did God need to create life elsewhere? Stay tuned.
The idea that life can arise from non-life has never been observed. Why couldn't it happen somewhere else?
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. ETs and UFOs. It's the stuff of books and movies, just science fiction. Or is it? What exactly are we looking for out there in space? And why haven't we found what we're looking for? Join us for the next 15 minutes for Is Anybody Out There? Roger Oakland is director of Understand the Times and has researched the subject of extraterrestrials for the last two decades.
There has been a tremendous interest in extraterrestrial supernatural beings. Many of them are hybrids in nature, part animal, part human. We see these in various kinds of productions, whether it be comics or science fiction films, cartoons. And the idea is that these super beings, supernatural, extraterrestrial beings, have supernatural powers that are further evolved than we here on planet Earth. And in fact, what is very interesting is that when we look at these so-called superheroes, we see a very strong parallel, similarity, to the ancient deities and demigods that were worshipped by great societies of the past. So it's obvious that this fascination with UFOs, extraterrestrials, is not the first time that it's happened in Earth's history.
So how is evolutionary thought the basis for this belief in life evolving on other planets?
In my view, the Darwinian evolutionary idea for the origin and development of life has prepared a foundation for the belief that life must exist somewhere else in the universe. The general presumption is, of course, is that the development of life has occurred from non-life and that this is a fact. And also that the belief is that life proceeds in a direction from simple to complex, and that if life has evolved here on planet Earth, then why has it not been there a possibility of it evolving elsewhere? They say that the more time, the more places, the more possibilities for this natural process to occur, then certainly we would be arrogant in not accepting the idea that life must have evolved somewhere else in the universe. This faith in the idea of biological evolution becomes the basis of a cosmic or universal law of nature that opens the door for the proposal that extraterrestrial life not only exists, but also that it may be different than life as we know it here on Earth.
Dr. Thomas Kindle is director of Reasons for Faith Ministries.
The idea that they falsely assume is that anywhere on the solar system here where the conditions are right, such as on planet Earth, life can evolve, and it can evolve because all that's needed is naturalistic conditions. If you have the right distance from the sun, if you have the right chemicals present, time and chance and natural laws will do their natural thing, and life will spontaneously generate. And since we know, quote-unquote, that it is a fact, quote-unquote, that it happened here on Earth, then it must be a foregone conclusion that it could happen on any suitable planet anywhere in the universe. And so they've run calculations like how many possible suitable planets could be out there and how many possible civilizations there might be. And because they're doing these mathematical calculations, it's somehow supposed to be a scientific argument. But you have to realize the whole assumption of the math is based on a false premise that's never been demonstrated, and that is that life can evolve by chance. And based on everything we know in 21st century science, based on the laws of chemistry and physics and thermodynamics and probability, it not only could not and did not evolve on this planet, it could not and did not evolve on any other planet in the universe based on what we know. What their argument is from what we don't know, but based on what we really know in science, it appears to be utterly impossible. But the myth is so enamoring to so many people. You know, the whole basis of the Star Trek and the Star Wars and all these other sci-fi thrillers, when you think about it, the whole basis is the assumption that evolution is true and that life must have evolved on other planets.
This is one of the reasons there's so much interest in locating water in outer space. Roger Oakland.
One of the evolutionary assumptions is that if water exists, therefore life has the possibility of coming to existence by the process of evolution. But no one has ever performed any kind of an experiment on Earth to show that this is a possibility. Yes, we have plenty of water here on Earth, but to show that life can evolve, can originate by a natural process has never been demonstrated. Scientists then speculate, well, if we can find water elsewhere in the universe, like on Mars, then certainly there is the possibility that life has evolved there. But again, this whole idea has no basis whatsoever scientifically.
Dr. Danny Faulkner is professor of astronomy and physics at the University of South Carolina.
Truth of the matter is, water is very plentiful in the universe, much more than many people would think. We've found evidence of water on many of the moons in the solar system. We found evidence of much water inside of comets. On some of the planets, we know there's water there. We also see evidence of water in the spectra of certain types of cool stars. And we can also pick up water signatures in radio measurements from radio telescopes. So water's all over the place. The problem is that all of that water is either in a solid form, as in the case of comets or in the planets in most cases, or it's in a vapor form, as in the case of tails and heads of comets and in the atmospheres of stars. And, of course, water in either the solid or gaseous form does no good for life. You need liquid water. And getting liquid water is not easy. It requires a pretty narrow range of temperature. It requires a pretty narrow range of pressure as well. You can have the right temperature and wrong pressure or vice versa. So liquid water, and much of it, is a very precious commodity which the Earth has a huge abundance of. But life depends upon water, but many, many other things. And it'd be like saying I have a screw or a bolt, therefore I have an automobile. Automobiles indeed have screws and bolts in them, but it has a lot more than that. And so finding one essential element for life is it's a necessary condition, is hardly a sufficient condition for life. But even more to the point, all these kind of assumptions about life existing elsewhere in the universe are predicated upon the assumption of evolution. It's a given that wherever the conditions are conducive, you have the right temperature, you have the right elements present, you have a source of energy, you have water, liquid form, the whole bit, then life will naturally spring forth. And of course, we know scientifically and biblically that's not the case. If indeed there is life elsewhere, it has to be created by God.
Then how can we explain UFO sightings and what seem like very real visits from aliens?
The vast majority of these can be explained in terms of natural phenomenon or people misunderstanding what they've seen. It seems strange to me that you've had thousands of these visitations, but they never show up at governmental offices. They never show up at observatories. I've spent countless nights out in an observatory, and I've never been visited. You'd think the visiting extraterrestrials would be able to recognize and identify what an observatory is. And if they wanted to make contact with someone, what better person could you find than an astronomer? And yet I know of no astronomer or I don't know of any observatory where visitations actually happened.
What does the Bible have to say about all this? Dr. Kindle.
And the first thing we have to realize is that that is not something that originates in Scripture. God has not given us a revelation and said that there are any beings, intelligent, sentient beings, in the universe other than angels and men. As far as human beings are concerned, the Bible is very clear that Adam was the first man and that Eve was the mother of all living, so there certainly are no other human beings other than descendants of Adam and Eve. There are angels, myriads of angels, two-thirds of which remained loyal to the Creator and a third of which rebelled and are now deceiving spirits, demons, fallen angels, things of that nature. But other than that, the Bible is completely silent about there being other beings out there.
Roger Oakland.
The Bible states that all life exists because it was created. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So everything which exists in the universe has been created. But we must also understand that the Creator has an adversary, Satan, the devil, the one who deceives the whole world. And the Bible would mention that since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, Satan and his followers, the fallen angels, have played a significant role in deceiving the world and would appear often have manifested as extraterrestrial intelligent beings, not evolved, but created beings, fallen angelic beings, which have influenced the affairs of mankind.
Believing that beings evolved on other planets presents theological problems for the Christian. Dr. Kendall.
The Bible is very clear that Adam was given the dominion. The curse could not even come on this creation until Satan tempted and got Adam and Eve to sin. Adam in particular had that authority and dominion. And only then was the curse given, but the far-reaching nature of the curse, according to Romans chapter 8, is that the whole creation now groans and travails in pain. The whole creation is now under a bondage of decay, and we see that decay principle that we formerly recognized as the second law of thermodynamics throughout the universe. Now, if Adam sinned on planet Earth, and we are connected to Adam genetically, it explains the sin nature of man, because we're connected with him, and he got a corrupt nature when he sinned. Well, then, the terrible thing about sin is that it doesn't just touch the sinner, it touches anyone who is related or connected to that sinner. The whole race was polluted with Adam's sin. But the problem theologically is if you have God having created independently alien beings on other planets, why in the world would they be affected and cursed and put under a bondage of corruption and decay and groaning and travail because of Adam's sin? They're not genetically related to Adam, and it just makes no theological sense to assume that God made such creatures and then subjected them to the curse when it was no reason at all for them to be connected with it.
The truth is, evolutionists must believe in life evolving on other planets. Otherwise, it would make planet Earth a very unique and special place.
The Bible makes it so clear that this world is so important. This is where God created the very first thing he created on day one, you know, was the Earth. The Earth came first before the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. The Earth was first. It was here that man was made in his image. It was here on this earth that the God-man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, came to die and shed his blood on this planet, in this soil, nowhere else in the universe. It's here that God will return to tabernacle with man forever in the New Jerusalem. This is the most important place in the universe. And this is where God will have his people, his children, and his bride. And that is very clear in the Word of God. We are that special. We don't have to have other people on other planets. This is the most special place in the universe. It always has been. It always will be. And the reason for the infinite universe out there is to declare God's glory, which is a good enough reason in itself, and we probably will get to explore it and to exercise dominion over it throughout eternity. But it's very clear that God doesn't have to put other creatures out there in order to have a good purpose for such a huge universe.
Is anybody out there? Our free offer today is Impact number 291, Where Has All the Water Gone? By Dr. Henry Morris. Again, Impact 291. We'd also like to invite you to listen to a radio special, The Mystic Invasion, on our website. Go to icr.org, click on radio, and then click on Mystic Invasion. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7 and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.